have made delights to give you praise, and so do I. So as the sunlight meets open fields and city streets, my song will rise. So wake me up.
Hi there, everyone. This is Braden and Tally again with the Voice of My Beloved podcast. And today we are going to be looking at Psalm 118. We just finished Psalm 117, which was the shortest chapter in the Bible, very short psalm. And we're going into Psalm 118, which actually is a pretty long one. This is the longest of the Hallel Psalms. So we're going to be splitting it up into 2 weeks here while we're looking at it. So we're going to go through the first half today. So you want to get
started? Yes. So welcome, everyone. We have been listening to podcasts. Like when you start doing podcasts, you start just kind of being curious what other podcasts are out there. And so the other day, it's just funny just to kind of start out here. We're listening to this one podcast and these two ladies are on it, and there's they just pick a topic and just try to educate people on these topics. And so they're pretty entertaining, but it was called Learned Up. And at a certain point, they kind of introduced what they're going to be talking about. And they said, now we're going to get learned up.
Now, I don't know that we would suggest you looking up that podcast. It was just, we were actually looking for Purim podcasts, yeah. And they had a podcast on Purim, but they're coming from more of like a secular kind of perspective on.
But I just got a kick out of that. So we're about to get learned up on Psalm 118.
Yep.
All right, here we go. So Psalm 118, verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. So I just want to touch on something in the beginning here, something that a lot of the Hallel Psalms, you see this trend, this theme through them, is that it calls us to do something, or it actually, the author is doing something, and then it explains why. The author explains why, or he explains to the people that he's calling to do something why they should do it. So in this case, with 118, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, or you could say, because he is good. Mm-hmm. So I want to just look at each psalm and just touch on that kind of that cause and effect element of the psalm. So going back to 113, praise the Lord. He is high above all nations. The reason you should praise him is because he's high. He is just high and exalted. He's great. Okay, and then 114, tremble at the presence of the Lord because he turns the rock into a pool of water. He's very powerful. He can take this water, this rock, and just liquefy it. You know? So he's powerful. Tremble at the presence of the Lord. It's this call for nations to tremble at his presence because he's able to turn a rock into a pool of water. In 115, to your name be glory because of your mercy and your truth. So the same idea. We're going to glorify God because he is merciful, truthful. Mm-hmm. Then 116, the author says, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice. He's attentive. We love him because he listens to us.
Mm-hmm. I want to stop there real quick just because, the podcast, the title that we gave it was The Voice of My Beloved, which is taken out of the Song of Solomon. And I love the how hearing each other's voice and listening to each other is what grows us in love. And that's what the heart of this podcast is to encourage you to listen to the voice of your bridegroom, because as you hear his voice, we grow in love. Right. And so like just how that relationship. And so I just wanted to just kind of add that in there.
Yeah.
So that's what great. Psalm 116 is kind of focusing on there.
Then 117, praise him for his merciful kindness. It's called to praise. Praise God. He is full of chesed, loving kindness. And then right here at the end again, 118, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. And so I believe, you know, these psalms are praise psalms. They're the Hallel psalms. And I believe that as we grow in our understanding of the goodness of God, as in this case with Psalm 118, the more we're going to thank him. You know, thank the Lord because he is good. Mm-hmm. If I realize he's good, I'm going to be so thankful. You know, mm-hmm. Sometimes we get in this kind of negative mindset where we're like, we start doubting the goodness of God. And that's, you know, back to the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. It's like, well, you know, it's really, is God really for our good? You know,
right.
And that's kind of this lie the enemy plants in our hearts. But no, he is so good. I love the psalm. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. It's like when you taste it, the idea here is that you're actually internalizing it. Mm-hmm. You're internalizing, you're tasting it like food. It goes into your inmost being and you're internalizing this thing. And so the goodness of God is something to experience in the depth of our being, and no lie of the enemy can ever take that away.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm also thinking as you're that whole picture of eating it and digesting it and kind of like that whole picture of eating of God's goodness, I think of meditations and just how we have to meditate on the goodness of God. And that's kind of the way that we kind of eat it, you know, is we take it in, we think about it. We don't listen to the enemy who wants to point out all the negativity, you know, all the hardships, all the trials, but we have to actually make a choice and meditate on the goodness of God. And that's where our hearts grow in thankfulness. And that's such an amazing thing, you know, to live lives of thankfulness. And I also just wanted to point out too, just, you know, in Psalm 116 that we went through a couple weeks ago, you know, this person is going through a trial, right? And I think it's in those places that we tend to kind of doubt the goodness of God, or that's where the enemy really tries to tempt us to forget the goodness of God. And so so I love the honesty, the realness in 116, but how, you know, at the end of it, we come here to 118, and it's saying, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Like, it does, yeah, I've been through trials. I've been through, you know, the hard things, but I declare at the end that this is, you know, that he is good, and I'm going to give thanks to him. And so it's such an awesome thing.
Yeah. So I think, you know, as all of us are wanting to grow in this life of praise, this lifestyle of just thanking God, praising God, knowing his goodness, part of what these Psalms teach us is that we need to realize, you know, how great he is, how powerful he is, how good he is, that he listens to us. He's merciful, as these Psalms point out, and we're going to grow in that lifestyle of praise. It's going to become a second nature thing. You know, mm-hmm. I think it's like, wow, yes, God is good. I just know that deep in my gut, and I'm going to thank him today. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to be less forced, I believe, mm-hmm. but more just like a cause and effect. Uh-huh. It's like, wow, I praise him because I know he's good. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So moving on to verse 2, let Israel now say his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever. So in this little section here, we've seen the same progression as we saw in Psalm 115 of Israel, the house of Aaron, and then those who fear the Lord. And I don't claim to know exactly what these different categories...
Why it's split up
it's split up like that. I don't really know. But one of the things we can say is this is all-inclusive. Mm-hmm. We have Israel, you know, it's national Israel, calling them, give thanks to the Lord, his mercy endures forever, calling them to recognize that. And then the house of Aaron, you know, even today, this house of Aaron is still identifiable. Mm-hmm. The descendants of Aaron, based on the last name of the descendants of Aaron, you can still know who they are. And so, like, even today in synagogues where, you know, you have the number 7 of the descendants of Aaron called to give this Aaronic blessing, they still have them come up, these descendants of Aaron, and they give this Aaronic blessing. Mm-hmm. So that's neat that they're still identifiable.
Right. Yeah.
But the house of Aaron, and then also think, you know, on a secondary level, the house of Aaron being those who'd minister to God, you know, those that are ministering to God's people, but let them say his mercy endures forever. Mm-hmm. And then the third category, those who fear the Lord, this is everyone. You know, this is everybody. Everybody that fears God, mm-hmm. you need to know, you need to say this. Mm-hmm. His mercy endures forever. I see a significance here in actually saying it. I think the psalmist says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Mm-hmm. You know, just don't keep it inside. Don't mm-hmm. keep that revelation of his goodness, of his mercy to yourself. Mm-hmm. Say it. There's something powerful about speaking forth the praises of God. Mm-hmm. When you lift up your voice, I'm all for shouting even. You know, I read the story of this guy. He got saved and he was born again. And he just began shouting praises. And he said, I knew whenever, if I was to get religion, that I would get the shouting kind. So I like the shouting kind. You know, the Psalms, all, you know, it's all over the place. Shout your praises to God. It's not just I remember this one quote. It said, Christianity is not about mild-mannered men telling other mild-mannered men how to be mild-mannered. Right. I was like, oh man, that's so good. You know, there's an intensity to this. And you see this with David. He's just so intense. He's on fire. He wants to shout his praises to God, declare his goodness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm also looking at these three groups here too, and just thinking of the different perspectives that all of them have too. And maybe, I don't know if that has a part of it, but like, Israel is like born into the promise, right? Like born natural descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, they're born into this, and they're saying his mercy endures forever. And then you've got the house of Aaron, and they have like a very different role. They're serving Israel, right? Like their whole role is they were really set apart to be different. And just how even amidst their serving and their tending to the children of Israel, they can say it. And then how those who fear the Lord is pretty much, you know, whoever outside in nations or whoever just wants to fear God, who sees, you know, even the Egyptians that came out, you know, talking about the Exodus from Egypt, Egyptians who fear the Lord, how they have a whole different perspective on God as well. And just from, you know, just being so amazed that they even can be included in this whole plan of the goodness of God. And just how like all of those, each of those different spots has a different perspective, but yet each one of them can say the same thing, yeah. You know, like even from the different perspectives.
Yeah, that's good. So moving on to verse 5, I called on the Lord in distress. Isn't that when we most often call upon him? Sometimes we can get just, you know, kind of complacent, but then all of a sudden distress comes. We're like, oh man, I need God. So I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. So he's delivered from this place of distress and then set in this broad place. We can move around. You know, there's freedom to move around a little bit. You're not just like between a rock and a hard place, I think.
Right. Yeah, I love that. I love that picture of the broad place. I don't know if you've been like in a, you know, especially over a long period of time. You know, there's some of us that handle it better than others, but you know, you just feel kind of like weighed down or kind of tight or in a, you know, in a tough spot. And then, man, you can just think of the broad place. You know, just being in a field of flowers, you can see everything. You know what's going on. There's clarity there. It's such a good picture. Mm-hmm.
Verse 6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And I want to read a verse from Romans chapter 8, just emphasizing this truth that God is with us. He's on our side. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So God's gone to great lengths to show us how much he is on our side. He so wants us to walk in liberty, walk in freedom from fear. You know, just we see a connection here. The Lord is on my side. Mm-hmm. I will not fear. Mm-hmm. We know that he's with us. You know, I think of David. David must have written this psalm. We don't know for sure, but it's like you just see so many themes with David, the warrior side of him, the praising side. But just think of him approaching Goliath. You know, this guy's four times bigger than he is probably. But he knows that God's on his side. This is not a phrase. I will not fear. I will not fear. He makes that declaration. I love that too. It's just that making that declaration. I will not fear. Mm-hmm. You know, and in the face of the enemy, sometimes we just need to say that. I know that God's on my side. I will not fear. Mm-hmm. So what can man do to me? Man is limited in his ability to even hurt me because God is with me.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And I also, you know, I will not fear. You know, it's just talking about being in a place, you know, where you feel kind of in distress, right? Like in this tight place, and how saying like even in those spots in life, even in those times where you feel, you know, in a tight spot, in a place where you're not seeing things. So, you know, there's doesn't feel like a broad place. You're not seeing things clearly. You know, you're just like, what's the next thing? I'm just, you know, waiting on God for the broad place. But even in those spots, you know, saying, I will not fear. The Lord is on my side, and he's going to bring me to that broad place. So that's such a powerful thing.
Yeah, also think of the proverb that says, in the fear of man is a snare. Mm-hmm. And just think about how much more we need to be aware of God. And I think of Psalm 116, where it says, I will walk before the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, too often we find ourselves walking before the eyes of other people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's important, you know, to walk. But it's the second commandment, right? To love your neighbor as yourself. It's like, it's a secondary thing. It's important to have you know, that awareness of our neighbor and how they're, you know, they're relating.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
But firstly, God, and the fear of man is a snare.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, loving God is the first commandment.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Verse 7: The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. So here, just want to again emphasize that, you know, it's God first. You know, we can so often put our confidence in man,
mm-hmm.
but God is saying, you know what? The better option is to mm-hmm. trust in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Trust in God, and don't put, you know, don't be leaning on the wisdom of man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can be a blessing sometimes to have, you know, people helping us for sure. You know, mm-hmm. that's a great blessing, but it's better to trust in the Lord. And I see even here a progression, you know, man, just this broad scope of it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. But then beyond that, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes, these powerful people, these powerful rulers that, you know, look like they could really help us out.
They look powerful.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's better to trust in the Lord. Don't be mm-hmm. deceived by that appearance of power, of, mm-hmm. you know, ability to change things. But God is ultimately the one that is able to help us in mm-hmm. our trouble.
Yeah. I think that there's so much wisdom, and I think the Proverbs, you know, just gives us so much wisdom in, you know, getting good counsel, in making good decisions, in, you know, doing the right thing. And Proverbs kind of directs us on how to do that, you know, how to walk with wisdom, how to walk and make good decisions and stuff like that. But I think that, you know, something that this psalm is kind of addressing is that if our confidence is in the knowledge that we have, or in the, you know, even in our wisdom, our human, you know, thinking like, oh, surely, you know, this is going to work out. We've got this lined up, you know, I've got everything looks like it's all going to come into place. Our confidence can't be in that we made the good decision, we're making the right move, that we're doing, you know, whatever. Our confidence has to be in God, and our confidence has to be in that we trust him, that he's leading us and guiding us in all of those decisions and stuff. And that has to be the, you know, I think it can get a little bit, you know, tricky at times, because he calls us to make decisions and to be wise. And like, you know, the Proverbs addresses, so it's a good thing to like make the decisions, as long as that's not, we don't think that it's because of all these good decisions that we make, that's why things are going to pan out, or that's why, you know, it's because we trust in God, and that's the ultimately what where our confidence needs to be.
Right. Jeremiah 17 puts it in really clear terms. It says, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man. The strong words. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. So it's almost like this sense of when we begin to trust in man, there's an automatic shifting of our devotion or our attention. And we begin to put a level of trust or just leaning on man. But God's saying, no. And further on in Jeremiah 17, it says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. And it gives these powerful promises for the one who chooses this route of trusting in God. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. Reminds me of Psalm 1. Which spreads out its roots by the river. He will not fear when heat comes. Here's another thing here. He's not going to be afraid. He's going to be free of fear, this person who trusts in God. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Mm-hmm. So I think of the passage in John where Yeshua says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we see one of the ways that we bear fruit is by trusting in God. It says, mm-hmm. this person that trusts in the Lord, they will not cease from yielding fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the ways we're going to glorify God, by bearing much fruit
mm-hmm.
for his glory.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought I'd just give a little example too. This is just from my own life. Like, you know, just walking in wisdom and stuff. I think of health. Brayden and I, if you know us, we enjoy healthy eating and stuff like that, and healthy lifestyle. and so we do a lot of things, you know, like eating vitamins, trying to exercise, doing those kinds of things or whatever. And I think that, for me, it's been it's been a test that my confidence is not wrapped in that we're living healthy enough, and that's the reason why we're going to flourish. You know, like that's not the reason why, but that, you know, even as we make good decisions because God calls us to make decisions every day, as we make wise decisions, in the end, ultimately, it is in God that we're going to flourish and be like this, this tree planted by the waters, you know, that our spirits and our souls are going to, and even our bodies are going to flourish as we trust in God and don't put our confidence in these things. I don't know. I was just thinking of an example.
Yeah, that's good. Verse 10, all nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They surrounded me like bees. Bzzz. They were quenched like a fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. Wow. You will not find this song played in top 10 worship songs. You know, with the top 10 worship list of 2019. You know, this is very, there's an element of violence to this. And I think of even the Gospels where it says, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the evil one. And here we have the same word, destroy. Like there's an element of, in the Bible, of this destruction of the enemy's camp. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's an element that we can't become passive to. We can't become indifferent to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, back in these times, in the days of the Psalms, you had physical enemies. And it's easier for me to process these type of things in more of a spiritual light. Because, you know, in the context of a lot of passages we have in the New Testament, mm-hmm. we have this spiritual battle that's raging. You know, so our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, it mm-hmm. says, but they're mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. Mm-hmm. So just, you know, no less are we in a battle than David was.
Mm-hmm.
No less are we in a battle as, you know, these warriors of old. But I think of the necessity to put on the whole armor of God,
mm-hmm.
to realize every day as we go out that there are these, we're surrounded. We're surrounded like bees, mm-hmm. but they'll be quenched like a fire of thorns. I think of the, you know, if you've ever burned things, dry thorns, like just thorns in general, do not last long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, but they burn hot, but they burn fast. Mm-hmm. And so I think this rage of the nations is something that's, it burns, like it appears very big, you know, like this big, but it just goes out within a matter of minutes. You know, I think of that in the context of even Israel, you know, that the nations raging around Israel, that fury that's there, but it will only be short-lived.
Mm-hmm.
It'll, in the end, God will show himself mighty. Mm-hmm. He will defend his people, mm-hmm. and we can be confident in that. You pushed me violently, verse 13, that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. This verse 14, the Lord is my strength and song and has become my salvation, shows up in two other places in the Bible. The first one is in Exodus 15. The children of Israel have just crossed the Red Sea and they're rejoicing, dancing, and they're singing this. The Lord is my strength and song and he has become my salvation. And then also in Isaiah 12 is another reference, and we'll touch on that in a little bit. But just to process a little bit, what does it mean for someone to be your song? Like if I'm saying, Tally is my song, you know, it's a sweet thing to say. You know, like, you know, Tally is my song. It means like basically as I'm going throughout my day, she is my song. She's what's kind of this melody that's just kind of growing in my heart. It's just kind of right there in my mind. You know, a song is something that kind of is with you. Mm-hmm. And to say God is your song, it's a poetic thing to say, you know, but God is like, he's right there kind of in my mind. And as I, you know, give voice to song, he's the subject of my song.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's the subject of my praise. So I think it's a beautiful picture there.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at Isaiah 12, it's interesting. It says in the beginning of this chapter, in that day you will say, and then it has a few things, but then it goes on to say, for Yah the Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. So the question is, what is that day that is being referred to in Isaiah 12? Well, if we look back at Isaiah 11, it also has a similar statement. It says, it shall come to pass in that day. So it's pretty safe to say, I believe that, you know, Isaiah 12 and Isaiah 11 are referring to the same day. And if we look at the context of Isaiah 11, it's saying that in that it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people who are left from Assyria and Egypt, from Pathros and Cush, from Elam and Shinar, from Hamath and the islands of the sea. He will set up a banner for the nations and will assemble the outcast of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. So that day is the day when God regathers his people from the four corners of the earth. And so it's significant, I believe, that it's saying, you know, Isaiah 12, in that day you will say, you know, these words, for Yah the Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. And Isaiah 11 actually gives us the context of what that day is. It's the day when God brings back his people to his land. And so this is an awesome time to be singing these words, Psalm 18, or Psalm 118, to be singing this because we're in that day. We're in the, we haven't seen the fullness of it, but we're in that day of redemption. And it's time to be speaking of God as our strength. He's strengthening us and he is our song. He's the one that carries us through. He's the one that, he's the subject of our inmost thoughts, our inmost devotion, our inmost affection. He's our song. You know, when something is your song, it's something that just really kind of resonates through your being. And he's the one that really just has captured our hearts. So it's a time to be singing of him in that way.
Yep. Amen. I think that we've gotten to the halfway point here. Or do you have one more? Okay. So, yeah, we're going to sign off now and we're going to take on the second half next week. So we'll see you next week. This is Braden and Tally reminding you to listen to the voice of your beloved. There is freedom in his voice, and we were meant to be free.
Love and be loved, to trust and believe.